I have never heard that song before, but I love it. Let's pray together. God, like Stacy said, it's easy for us to have sayings like you're on the throne, you're in charge. But you know how often we live as if that's true. Today, it's so easy for us to be caught up in all kinds of things. This morning, a lot of us have been hit by texts and emails, or we've read the news or seen it. Stirs up all kinds of things in us, anxiety, anger, frustration, fear. What we need to do is look at you first before we sift through all the information that comes our way. Help us to remember that nothing surprises you, nothing in our life, nothing in our country or our world. You have plans and purposes, and nothing can get in the way of us being part of that except us. So help us to take to heart what we've been singing. And remember today as we worship that you really are good, you are very present, you're very aware. And no one and no thing can get in the way of your influence and your work in our lives. As our country comes up to a big election, there's all kind of anxiety and angst and anger. Help us to be people of purpose, people with wisdom. Help us to pray for our country rather than be disgusted with it or so caught up that we can't see anyone but enemies and friends. Help us to be your people on the scene. And may our worship today recalibrate us well. In Christ's name, amen. Have a seat. I'm going to grab my notes. And I've got a special bag that I'm using today that Becky didn't know about. We have a lot of bags at our house. I don't know if you do. This is not a Wegmans bag. We've got 400 of those. But we now have, apparently, TJ Maxx likes pandas. There's not a panda in here. None have been harmed in preparing them. I did bring a rabbit one time, and it was in a bag, and I reached down to get it, and the rabbit jumped up and jumped on my back. I don't know, what do you do? And rabbits apparently do have pretty good claws, so we were trying to figure out how do you, anyway. I'm not bringing any more rabbits. I have a ferret I might be bringing soon, and we're going to edit all this out for the on-demand. Anyway, I'm Rusty. I'm glad you're here, whether you're on campus or online. If you're a first-time guest with us, we're really glad you're here. And if you're on campus, when you leave, go by Guest Services. They've got a gift bag for you. And go through the whole bag because at the bottom is some chocolate. And if you're online, our host will help you with any information that you might like. There's also a communication card in the seat back in front of you. And any way we can help, there may be something stirred up today, maybe a question, it could be a prayer request, there's room on the back of it. Again, we have an online version too, so you can take those and put them in their drop boxes in the side lobbies and one in the very front. Before I get into the message, I want to tell you about two pretty cool things that happened yesterday. We had this family fun day yesterday. Have we got a picture of that? We had over 500 people attended, which, and the weather was perfect. Tons of candy, hot dogs, all that. Another cool thing about it is we had over 100 volunteers to pull this off. You know, post-COVID, it's been, people are still kind of, I'm not sure what to do, where am I going? And it was a lot of fun being here yesterday. And for Kim Feld and David and the team that put all this off, we're really grateful. And then last night, we had another event. So we partner with Zaponic Farms, which is a hydroponic farm. It's not really a farm. They're in these big sea containers. And it was primarily designed to help young adults with special needs to be able to gain some work skills and all this. So they had their first dance party in a while. We've done this before, but it's the first one since COVID. And they had over 100 of these young adults just having a great time out in the atrium out there. These are things we get to do together. Your support to New Hope helps that happen, and we have a lot more of these going on, but I just wanted you to see it. I'm just glad we get to do it. And it's one of the things, too, about being, we've been doing online since well before the pandemic, but there's some things you miss by being purely online. You don't get this kind of face-to-face connection that all of us really, really do need. Not disparaging online. I know I have a friend yesterday that said he just loves going to church in his pajamas. That's great. I don't know what his pajamas look like. It might be better for all of us if they do. But I do say this, that it's really, really important for us to find ways to get connected. And in this series, this first message in this series, it's a series called Life Hacks, which hacks are the same thing as taking shortcuts. We're trying to find easy ways to do things that normally might be more difficult. We're trying to find shortcut solutions, workarounds. And it's okay in some areas, but there are others that where we try to do these shortcuts or hacks that cause more problems than they solve. And this first one we're looking at is this idea of friendships and how to build them. There are some real problems with friendships in America right now. Most of you would know this. I'm going to give you some data to support it. New York Times article this past week cited a lot of information, but the tagline for it was that in the last few years, not because of the pandemic, but made worse by it, American friendship has been on a significant decline. Some of you, again, you know it internally. I'm just going to give some data here. Gallup poll, 1990, they did a poll, and one of the stats was 3% of Americans said they don't have any close friends. 32 years later, it's grown to 12% say they have no close friends. Now, this is self-reporting. Psychology Today, citing some data from a big research study that was done a year ago, between 30 and 49-year-olds, this is how the status of friendships are. 13% of women and 8% of men said they have lost touch with most of their friends in the last few years. Now, mind you, too, this is when social media, everyone's connected. We've got all kind of virtual connections, but they're saying that I'm losing close friends in the process. And a close friend, my definition is someone, it's someone that you have mutual trust with. Acquaintances are people that you know. Friends are people that you know, they know you, and there's some trust built into it. The thing about friendships and all the research in it, I'm going to go through some Psychology Today stuff here, is that all the research says that having close friends, significant number of close friends, is good for you physically, mentally, emotionally, in about every way you can think of. The lack of them is a huge detriment to us, and we're paying a price for it. Some of the dysfunction we witness in our country today, a lot of it can be traced back to, if you look at it, to the lack of these kind of good, mutual trusting friends in our lives. And so you have almost unchecked anger, rage, fear, anxiety, isolation. We can do a lot better. Some of the results that Psychology Today drew from this American Perspective survey, and just a few things here. Almost half of Americans have lost touch with at least a few friends in the last 12 months. Most of you understand that pretty clear. 10% of Americans right now say they've lost touch with most of their friends. They're just not connected with them anymore. The primary pool of friendships, you know where it's coming from? Work. And what's happened to work? Well, now we're hybrid. We're sometimes there, sometimes not. We're on the screens, but we're not connecting like we used to. So we're seeing a decline continually because work was where we spent most of our time. And now we're losing some of that. Among young adults, the majority say they have made a friend in the last 12 months, but among senior adults, the majority have not made any friends. In fact, they've lost friends in the last 12 months. Only 1 in 5 Americans say they have made a good close friend at their place of worship. What does that say about us? We might be there. We might just be watching virtually, or we might be around, but we're more spectators than we are people connecting. Women outpace men significantly in close friendships. The studies over and over again say women generally find in their close friends the kind of emotional support that keeps wind in their sails. Guys, we're not doing very well at it at all. The stats are really clear that we tend to stay surface if we are connected. It's a lot easier to talk about the Commanders and how lousy they are than about what's going on in my life. It's a whole lot easier, trust me. But it doesn't really benefit me. You know, during this last series we did, this Rooted, we really encouraged people to get in small groups. And so a lot of people did. We started new groups. We had people join other groups. And there was one of several guys that started. And I'm part of Steve Frazier and I do a Wednesday morning men's group. And there was a guy that joined our group. And we were going through and getting his email address. And I have his permission. I'm not going to use the guy's name. We'll just call him Edgar. If you're Edgar, it wasn't you that sent it. It was someone else. Anyway, this is what he said. I want to thank you and Steve for what you do with the group, for what you've done with the group. I now see it is a tremendous gathering of men, and I sadly have never been part of anything like this to date. And our group's not that special. We meet at 6 a.m. Wednesday mornings. We meet for an hour, probably an hour and 5 minutes. But it was a taste of something. And he said, I desperately need this, and I haven't had it. We have things available to us. What are we going to do? Research shows that people with more friends are more satisfied with their life. That just there's a correlation to this. Again, women much more than men. Last thing I'll mention about this, and you can do your own research, is I thought this was interesting, and be careful, don't draw a conclusion until I finish with this. 1 in 5 Americans have lost a friend over the past 3 years because of how they think about Donald Trump. Hang on. Pro or con? 1 in 5 have lost a friendship because of a stance, pro or con, related to, in the surveys, Donald Trump. Does that mean Donald Trump is evil? Nope. It means we're really fickle. And it means there's something with us that we're bringing into these relationships something that is really unhealthy, and we have to own that part. The studies also say that most of us, more people would have lost friends about that, but you know the thing is, most of us, or what they're saying is most people, their close friends are all of exactly the same mindset they are. How would anything ever change if we only hang around people that think just like me? There's something really dangerous about that. And we've allowed it to happen because we're aiming for comfort, we're aiming for convenience. And we always like to have someone that we're against. We need to figure something out here about friendships. And the Bible is a real, real help to us. Before I get into that, I want to look at some of the shortcuts we take. And there's a take-home sheet. You can get that online or in the app or when you walk out the doors here. We got the message notes and a take-home sheet. And I hope you'll take this. I hope you'll do something with it today over lunch. I hope you'll do something with it if you're in a small group or parents, get with your kids and talk about some of this. None of this is secret. In fact, parents, we have a huge role in helping our children understand about friendships. At every age and stage of our lives, we have something to offer. Some of the shortcuts we take that just don't work. And listen to this. It says, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. And this means healthy family, by the way. In fact, some of us have friends that are much closer to us than our biological family. And thank God for that. Anyway, here's a few things that we can do that we think are shortcuts, but they don't work. One is just to have feel-good materials in our friendships. I'm going to have feel-good friendships. I want to find those things that we immediately connect with. It's kind of an emotional connection, but it doesn't have much depth to it. It's kind of like when you're on a first date. You smell the best you'll ever smell on a first date. You laugh at things that aren't that funny on a first date. You're extremely gracious on a first date, but why? You're hoping there'll be a second one. And so we're not, you know, we just, what can we do? This is, oh, I love this. This is great. I love baseball. I don't know what they're doing, but I love it. And I really want to eat some more yam casserole. I'm going to throw up in just a minute, but until then, you know what it's like. We have these, it's built on emotion. And we ignore differences because we don't want to cause any harm. But I'm going to tell you that a lot of our relationships are like, the reason I brought this bag, Becky and I like to go camping. We haven't done any this year because issues have gone on. We're probably going to go later on. We don't have a date set yet. But when you go camping, you want to have a campfire. And the best way to start one is with something like this, the Washington Post newspaper. I'm kidding. I read it every day. I read this one this morning. But you start the fire, you wad up the Washington Post or whatever you like, and you put it down and you start the fire. The problem is, if that's all you have, you'll never roast a hot dog. It doesn't last. It's really nice initially. It starts very quick, but it goes just as quick. What you need is to build a fire with something like this. This, I can hold a match up to this all day long and not much is going to happen. I start with the paper. I start with easy stuff, but then I begin to build with something more substantial. That's the way relationships are meant to be. If I'm only going for the feel-good stuff, it's not going to last. It's going to be extremely disappointing. Another kind of feel-good category is we find negative common ground. It's easy to do this. You get around people and all of a sudden there's something being complained about and everyone's going, oh, yeah, that's terrible. I don't know. I hate them. A bunch of jackals. And we just love doing that because it feels good because we're talking about other people. That's the national pastime. It's not baseball or football. It's putting other people down and critiquing them. The thing is, please understand this. I can slide into it too, but if your relationship is built on the negatives, eventually it's going to come back to bite you. Because that's the framework of the relationship. Some of us enjoy gossip, and you get around people that gossip. But let me tell you, if someone will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. We got to do something better, something more substantial. It feels good in the moment. It will not last, not in a healthy way. Another way we do relationships that don't work well, and that is dishonest communication. I don't mean necessarily lying, but it's when I'm not being fully truthful. I want to kind of go along to get along, and so there are things that I'll just hold back on. I'll keep some of my beliefs or my values secret, and if you do something that probably would warrant under healthy circumstances, maybe making a comment or at least throwing out an alternative, I'm going to shut up because I don't want to mess up the friendship. I'm going to tell you, it's not much of a friendship if it's just one way, if there's not a mutuality to it. Something about learning to be authentic and genuine. That doesn't mean you have to dump everything on someone immediately, but it means along the way being genuine and real. It's more art than science, but it is possible. And then the other thing that really messes up potential friendships is just, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? If that's your mindset, if that's the primary, it's not that, again, friendship should be mutual, but if all I'm thinking about is what's in it for me, it's not going to last very long because people are going to be disappointing to me. And I'll be a disappointment to them, but who cares because I'm in it for me. In the counseling world, counselor friend that Becky and I loved a lot used to say, it's the two ticks and no dog. In our friendships, if everyone's in it for me, it's not going to last. It ought to be something for me, yes, but I ought to be focusing on what I can give and how I can invest. True friendship is built over time. with generous portions of these ingredients: truth, understanding, grace, service, forgiveness, and patience. There is no simple formula for making good and lasting friendships. There's no 1, 2, 3 step. There's no recipe book for all this. But these essential ingredients count. Let's go back to them again. Time, more than just one shot. Generous portions of truth, understanding, grace, serving, forgiveness, and patience. Instead of there being some kind of friendship hack or shortcut to it, there's a mindset we need to enter into relationships with. And the Bible gives us a great guideline. I'm going to give you more in a minute, but this is the primary guideline. Jesus said this. In fact, we used to talk our kids about this. We got to a point where we'd look at one of them and say, "Have you done a Matthew 7:12?" And they knew what it meant. Now, you may not, but they heard it so many times, it got to be kind of old. But here it is. This is from The Message. Jesus says, "Here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. Add up all what the Bible says about relationships, and this is the fundamental truth. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Take the initiative in doing it. You want to be respected? Show respect. You want to be understood? Ask some questions and listen without judgment. You want people to be interested in you? Show genuine interest in them. You want to be valued? You can go through the list. If you want friends, you need to learn to be one without any strings attached. You know, sometimes what we'll do is we'll go out or we'll do something kind and we're sitting around waiting, well, what are they? They didn't respond right. I'm out of here. And that just shows that my motive was all about me. It was just self-centered. I'm going to switch gears for just a minute because some of us, especially if we watch, we're coming up to a silly time of year too, where all these movies, especially on the channel that starts with Hallmark, I mean, everything in 60 minutes or however long those shows are, it all turns out well. He doesn't take the job, she doesn't take the job, everything works out, and they're just happy, and it's kind of it's amazing. It really is amazing. It's amazingly ridiculous, but it's there. Because we get in our mind, we have in his mind, the perfect relationships. And all my friends on social media and all the Christmas newsletter, everyone else has great friends. I got a bunch of turkeys. I got a bunch of losers. Maybe I should move. Maybe I should find a new church. Maybe I should find a new country. Everyone else has these great friends. Good friendships will have failures and disagreements. And the reason is because everybody in those friendships is imperfect. A friendship that hasn't gone through a difficulty or disagreement or some friction hasn't been around very long, or they're not truly friends. This mutual trust, you have to work through things to get to that. I've got some very close friends, and we have had friction over time. They're getting better. I've trained them up better. This is the way Becky and I have been married a long time, and we still have things that we have to wrestle with and get through. That's normal. One of the things I love about the Bible is that it portrays reality. And I'm going to read this to you. This is from the letter to the church at Philippi. Listen to this. Paul has written this letter. It's a phenomenal letter. And it was a letter written to the church there, and then it's passed around to all the neighboring churches and eventually made it to where we have it in our Bibles. Most of us have read this year. If you've been doing our Bible reading plan, you've seen it too. Near the end of his letter, he says, and remember, this letter, it was delivered, and then it was read publicly. It was read publicly. It was heard many times. They would memorize portions of it among the congregation, and then they would send it out so other churches would get it. Listen to this. "Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche." These are two women in the church. Can you imagine if you were Euodia or Syntyche? Now, at first, they're probably, oh, this is great. Paul's going to be praising us in the gates. No. He says, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, whoever he was writing to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Two key people that had been on Paul's team. The church at Philippi was started when Paul and Silas had gone to the area. They met a woman that was a very successful businesswoman named Lydia. They met her. She accepted Christ. They ended up starting a church there. They stayed with her. The first church met in her home. There were a bunch of prominent women there. Euodia and Syntyche were two of them. And they had been huge partners in the ministry, not just in that church, but in the area. And now these two are arguing and fighting, and there's a dispute big enough that when Paul writes to them, he has to mention that in the letter. Can you imagine what that would be like if you were one of these two women and it's being read publicly? You guys get your act together. The stakes are really high, by the way. It's bad enough when you and I run into problems with our friendships. It is devastating when leaders do and don't work through it. When leaders take liberty, followers take license. So if a leader can be mean and nasty and dismissive of others, it becomes part of the DNA of the culture there. These are women that Paul had huge respect for. You can tell that he loved them and cared about them, and he's challenging them. He's calling them to work on, to admit whatever's going on, to clear it up because the stakes are so high. And just imagine with me for a minute if that letter were written today to New Hope. And if Paul knew about you and me. Right now, what might be mentioned? Have any of us here been offended by a friend? And so we blasted them on social media or we talked about them behind their back in gossip. And what gossip is when you're talking about a problem with someone to someone besides that person. You're talking behind their back. Good gossip is when you're praising people behind their back, but bad gossip is when I'm talking about someone that I haven't been willing to go to personally and try to iron things out. I wonder if he would write about any of us that have felt left out, didn't feel appreciated, so we just ghosted people in return. Or maybe you've been hurt and betrayed, so now we're isolating to protect ourselves. We live with all kind of walls around us. Maybe we've done somebody wrong, but we're just too proud to admit it. And what happens then is I've done somebody wrong, but then what I do is I say, well, it's their fault. They made me do it. Or look at all the problems they've got, and I'm not willing to humbly look at my own life. Or maybe I've been hurt to a point where I'm unwilling to forgive somebody. I'm not going to let them off the hook. I wonder how many of us let political differences become a barrier so that we never get to know somebody because we saw a bumper sticker or a shirt they were wearing. And we've judged them and written them off. Stakes are really high. Families all over the world are fractured. And generations are impacted. Because people that know better are not willing to do better in their relationships. Parents, one of the greatest things you can do for your kids is to model for them how to build healthy relationships, how to heal them when they get broken, how to work through, how to navigate the difficulties that come along without just writing people off. You're always being watched. Kids are always learning. In our workplaces, I wonder how many people leave a job not because of better salary somewhere else, but because they've been disrespected or they felt left out or they've not been treated honorably like a friend would. And I want to tell you another thing about marriage. You get married and you think, well, I finally got my best friend, and that's fine, but you still need other friends. I will never take the place of some of Becky's girlfriends, nor should I. She's never going to take the place of some of my guy friends. We need to be connected in ways that really help us, and where there's arenas that give us some things that we need we wouldn't find somewhere else. I'll give you a couple of key guidelines for building and repairing relationships. And by the way, it may be your friendships are fine, but you know, Paul appealed to his coworker and partner in the letter to help these two women to get him, to get right and figuring out the relationship. Sometimes what you and I need to do is step in where we see a conflict or where we see something going wrong, and in a respectful way say, you know what, guys, something needs to change here. I'll help every way I can, but something needs to change. The danger's really high that something's going to be fractured and not ever repaired. So here are just a few things, and the take-home sheet will help you go further with this. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Think about how Jesus thinks about you, and then take that same attitude toward the people around you. Co-workers, neighbors, friends, family members. What does he want you to do? What kind of friend has he been to you, and what kind of friend does he want you to be to others around you? Romans 12 says this: don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight. Listen to this. Take delight in honoring each other. Never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Let me read that one again. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. That's not peace at any price. That doesn't mean that you sacrifice what is true. It means I'm going to do the best I can to live at peace with everyone around me. And only when something needs to be said or done that could create disunity will I do it. But I'm not going to just arbitrarily do that. A good motto that we use here at New Hope is you believe the best and inspect the rest. The default is I'm going to believe the best in someone else. I'm going to just choose, because that's how I want them to treat me. And if I can't get over something that's happened or didn't happen that should have, then I will go and inspect it. I'll go and ask them. I'm not going to jump to wrong conclusions, or at least premature ones. Here's a verse that a lot of men like. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Yeah, I love that verse. I want a t-shirt with that. I want posters. I want it on the back of my car. Here's the problem with that. We really hate it. To sharpen a knife, what happens? Tons of friction. Sparks. It's very uncomfortable to be on the receiving end of being sharpened. A lot of us like to sharpen others, but we don't want it for ourselves. Shame on us. We need to figure, you know, all of us have rough edges. Part of our executive leadership team here, Kim and David and I are very good friends, but we do not always see eye to eye. And there are times when there is friction because we have these differences and we have to work through them. At the end of the day, I know I'm a better person, a better leader because of that. It's not comfortable, but it is a huge, huge benefit. Some of us have bailed on friendships because we didn't like the friction. And it might have been, it was something that we desperately needed, but we're too proud to take it. Especially when it's at a time when emotions run hot. It's easy to be angry and hostile toward anyone I don't agree with. Listen to this, James 1. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Wouldn't it be great if we had tattooed on all of our eyelids inside, be quick to listen, slow to open your pile, slow to speak, slow to anger. It could change things dramatically. Proverbs 27, wounds from a friend can be trusted. true friends will not only be honest with us, but we will invite them to be honest with us. And while we may not agree with everything they say, we may not like it, we're asking them to because they can see our blind spots in our habits or character or other areas. True friends can do this and should do this with each other. And they're guided by this in Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. Not one or the other, but both hand in hand. And then I'll close with this. And it's one we ought to all hang on to. And 1 Peter says, most important at all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. We all need it. A couple of things I'll mention here that is a little bit extra. One of the things I love about our small groups and our ministry teams at New Hope is it gives us a chance to build some friendships with some commonality. You're doing security or hospitality or greeting and all that. You get to do something with someone. You have a chance because you have something in common. You're trying to grow in your relationship with God. You're helping others, and you can begin foundationally to build some friendships. Our small groups go deeper with that. Most of us, no one's built a close friendship this morning in this service. But you can afterwards. When the service is over, you know what most of us do? We'll go outside, grab a Coke or coffee or whatever drink you want. We hang out with people we like. My challenge is, why don't you find some people you don't know, at least for the first few minutes. Go up to them and say, hi, my name's Brian. If your name's Brian. If it's not, I would encourage you not to use that. But if it is, hi, my name's whatever. How are you doing? And some of us don't do it. Well, I've seen them before, and I don't know their name. I heard their name. Okay, get over it. I do it all the time. That's why I say, hey, man, hey, gal. We shouldn't let our insecurity keep us from connecting. Because the data shows that people are really hurting for friendships. And what a great place to do it. And the last thing I'll offer, this is completely, I haven't even asked Becky's permission for this, but the holidays are coming up. Why don't you host a party at your home? It could be snacks. It could be, don't do it for election night. I'm not going to go there. But a party, dinner party, snacks, it could be something like that. And invite some people over, some people from church, from other friends, neighbors, coworkers. If you give us some notice, give me a week's notice, I'll make bread and you can have fresh bread for the party. If you're really hurting for friends and Becky and I are free, we'll come. I mean, I know you're slumming at that point, but there's something you and I can do to take initiative, and I really want to encourage us to do it. If we do, we could make an impact. In our spheres of influence, we can really make a difference. I'm going to pray in a minute, but I want to mention just a couple of other things. Don't forget the take-home sheet. You can get those when you walk out or you got them on the app. We have our Feed My Starving Children mobile pack coming up in a couple of weeks. Actually, I guess it's 3 weeks from yesterday or Friday. This is one of those times where we can do something that really is hands-on making a difference in the world. We're not just talking about it, we're doing something. And it's a perfect opportunity to invite some people to come and join in. You got people at work, you got family members, you've got neighbors, you've got clubs you're part of, and I really want to encourage you to sign up and do it and let people see that the church does more than just talk. I want to thank everybody. This has been a kind of a staff appreciation month, and is Jenny here? Jenny Herzog kind of took a lead on a lot of this, but thank you all for the kindness you showed to us and our staff, and we love being part of this church. The last thing I want to mention is we've got the new partnership perspectives out. Some of you got it, an e-version. We've got copies of this at guest services. I hope you'll get a copy of it. There's a lot that God is doing here in our church, and we want to make the most of that. I hope you'll use it as a prayer guide, but also as a guide for your thinking about your support for New Hope. As we wrap up the year, we're a bit behind in our giving. We're not worried about it. And if you're a first-time guest, we don't want your money. But those of you that believe in what we're doing, we're not going to shame you about giving, but we're not going to be shy about saying, let's do it well. Let's end the year well. Pray about it and think about how God wants you to be generous with your time and your resources. And let's do something together that matters. Let's pray. Why don't you stand with me? God, we are grateful for you. You are the one that's on the throne. You deserve our absolute, undivided attention. As we leave here, help us to determine that we're going to be the kind of friends that honor and respect you and help others understand just what a difference you can make in a life that is devoted to you. Amen.